Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Are your headphones turned down?
No sound check, Nicole?
I recorded yesterday, so in my head, I had sound checked. I just should leave my mic plugged into my computer at all times, you know?
Yeah. Headphones turned down to a normal volume?
Yes, my phone's still... Oh, shit. Yeah, they're still on that level. Thank you, though.
Okay. Okay, so today's episode is a fun topic. We're going to talk about houseplants through the ages and just kind of tell some stories about other people's experiences with houseplants in times that are not now. So 70s, 90s, as far back as the 40s. Mm-hmm. So I'm really excited to chat about how plants have evolved and like what plants were popular and where people got them. There's still so much more to this topic that I feel like we're only scratching the surface. Mm-hmm. So maybe I need to do a research essay and just for myself.
Yeah. Yeah. No, just from the few articles I read, it's pretty intricate and it dates back way longer than I ever imagined.
Yeah, totally. So that's today's topic. We're just going to be chit-chatting about that. But of course, before that, we've already been a little chit-chatty, but we're going to do a little...
little catch-up?
I don't know. A little catch-up.
A little catch-up. Well, Nicole saw a celebrity yesterday.
I did. Listen... I'm pretty much best friends now with Mario Lopez. So Bree was visiting me for the past couple of days and we recorded our Patreon episode yesterday. And in it, I said, we're going to this cute little town called Long Grove, Illinois. And this town is a very, very cute little Hallmark town. Like if you're going to film a Lifetime Hallmark movie, it's going to be in Long Grove, Illinois. So, yeah, so we decided to go there and we immediately pull into town. And when I say town, it's probably like a 3 or 4 mile radius. It's very small. And we pull into town and all the streetlights are still decorated with Christmas stuff. And I'm just like, what is going on? Did they forget to take it down? I mean, we're in the end of March here.
Did they forget?
It's about to be Easter. Okay. So then Bree's like, oh, there's like a tree with candy canes on it over there. And I'm like, what is going on? So we park and we're noticing the town is dead. Like there's nobody walking around, but it was kind of chilly and windy yesterday. So we're like, maybe we're the only two crazy ones out and about, you know? Mm-hmm. And I was like, we have to go to the Sock Monkey Museum first. So this Long Grove, Illinois has the original Sock Monkey Museum. All the like old sock monkeys. It's a very cool place. And you could buy sock monkeys and all that stuff, right? So we're like, we're going to go to the Sock Monkey Museum. Two children just out and about, you know? And we walk past it and there's these big lights with gels on them, like shining in the windows. And I see like a little trailer off to the side. And I was like, maybe they're filming a movie here. And she's like, oh, that would make sense. And I was like, yeah, it would. I was like, they're definitely filming a movie. Watch it be a Hallmark movie, right? So we go to the front of the Sock Monkey Museum. It is like Christmas threw up everywhere, like way more than it's normally decorated. And we walk in, surprisingly, the doors were open and there was this whole film crew there, huge, like crazy, more than I would expect for it being in this tiny little town. And the women that run the shop were in the back and they're like, oh, are you here to shop? And we're like, yeah, what's going on? She's like, we're filming a Hallmark movie. I was like, okay. I was right. She's like, if you stick around long enough, you could see Mario Lopez. And I look over at, at Brie, and her jaw's quite literally on the floor. And I was like, what? Okay. So then we just walked out and we're like, well, we looked around. She's like, you guys can't stay here though. So like, as we're walking out, we're like looking for him, nowhere to be found. So then we leave and we go to a couple other shops and they're closed. So I'm like, maybe they closed the whole town down for this. That would make sense, right? Mm-hmm. So we circle back to the Sakamaki Museum to see if we could get a little scoop. And we see them filming a scene where he's walking in and out of the shop. So like Bree's like, oh my God, this is crazy. We were standing out there though. We were the only two people out there. And we were freezing. Like, we were visibly shaking because it was so windy and so cold. Mm. And another really nice woman comes up to us and she's like, are you here to see Mario Lopez? We're like, yeah. She's like, me and my sister drove by earlier and they told us that he'd be here later. So I just came back to see. As soon as she said that, this gentleman, this sweet, sweet guy, comes out of the back of the store and is like, hey, like, you know, waves us to come inside. And Bree's like, are you talking to me? Like, she's like, who are you talking to? So then we walk inside and it's this full back room production, screens everywhere. He's like, you guys can hang out here. I know it's cold outside. Just don't film anything back here. So we're like, okay, you know, like I was in shock. I wanted to be an actor so bad when I was little that this was like, if I was in my teenage years, I would have been shitting my pants in this moment, you know? Mm-hmm. That, and like I grew up watching Saved by the Bell, you know, A.C. Slater. I was more of a Zach and Kelly kind of girl, I will admit. Okay. You know, Mario Lopez, if you're listening, I apologize. But it was cool. It was still cool, you know? My childhood memories. Anyway, so we're seeing him like doing some scenes from afar because he's in another room. And then the same guy that brought us in is like, hey, ladies, come here. It's just the three of us. Okay. And we're walking through the store and then he's like right in front of us and we're just standing. He's like, you'll get a better view here. And he like gave us like a little like wink, you know? And I was like, gosh, what is happening? You know, I was like, I came here to shop. Okay. So we're standing there, we're watching this whole thing go down and he's like, you guys can record, take as many photos as you like, which I was shocked by because they're like filming a movie, mm-hmm. you know? He's like, just no sound. Make sure there's no sound. So right away, I panic because I have Jay on emergency text. And I was like, if he texts me, my phone's going to beep in the middle of this scene. And I am going to want to crawl into a hole and die. Anyway, I told him not to text me. But we're there for like 30 minutes. And
I'm meeting Mario Lopez. Don't text.
I was like, do not text me.
My first inclination would be like, where? Give me all the details. I would immediately be like, I need more info.
Well, I told him, I was like, we came across a Hallmark movie set and Mario Lopez is here. And I feel like I'm in the Twilight Zone. Just don't text me because your phone beeps. And we're like literally on set. So I don't know what was going through his head. But
oh my gosh.
So then 30 minutes or something passes. We take all these little snippet videos. And then he's like, all right, cut. Like, he's got to change for a different scene. This whole movie's happening in this town. So they're getting ready to like film outside, I think. And Bree's like, I really want to get a photo with him. And I was like, okay, you want me to, like, can you go ask? Because I was so nervous. She's like, yeah. So she walks up and the same guy that brought us in, like, is like, do you want a photo? And like, he's standing right there, like getting unmic'd. And she's like, yeah. So then I got a video of her and then we got photos and he was very sweet. You know how sometimes you meet people and they're just, you meet stars and they're just not nice. He was very sweet. The woman that was acting with him in the movie, we were introduced to her as Mario's wife, but both me and Brie thought that it was just his wife in the movie, but it's his wife in real life. So then we felt like assholes because we didn't get a photo with her and his son was there. He's in this movie too. So it was like his whole family was so sweet.
Oh, that's cute. Nepotism.
Yeah. Look at that.
Yeah. Nepotism at work here.
Little nepo babies.
Wow.
But it was really sweet.
Yeah. And no one answered me. How did he smell?
Okay, I don't know. Like, not like nothing. Oh my gosh,
I would have just like tucked in close to the armpit.
Okay.
No. He probably like maybe didn't smell great though, because all the lights, maybe he was hot.
No,
like,
he didn't smell bad.
Those pheromones are working overtime. Oh, AC Slater.
Ooh, get a waft of that.
Let me put on my singlet. Let's go wrestling in the Bayside gym.
Oh, that's wow. So funny.
Bayside. Sorry, that was a very niche.
Every time you guys make these references, I'm just like, I've never seen Saved by the Bell.
It's all right, because I'm saved by the bell.
It was a Nickelodeon?
Oh, shit. I don't know. No, it was like ABC.
Okay.
Yeah. I've seen, like, you know, I know what it is, but I've never watched it. And Mario is just so handsome and cute. And, like...
It
what a guy.
Looks like I don't know what deal he made with what devil, but like he does not look any different than when he did when he was on Saved by the Bell.
I mean, listen, he had curly hair on Saved by the Bell. He didn't have curly hair yesterday, but he has to be getting Botox. He's got to be close to 45 or 50. 100%. Yeah, but like very little makeup. I didn't notice heavy makeup on him. So I'm just like, okay, I guess that, you know, Botox works. But no, he looks great. Like, whatever. He's a very kind man. But it was weird because mostly I was infatuated with being on a set of a movie.
Oh my
and then
god, 1,000% me. I would have been looking at the light brand to find out like how they, because those lights outside with the gels were to simulate sun. So I'm sure it was casting an orange light into.
Absolutely. It was gloomy outside. You would have said, there's the sun. That's exactly it. And then they had lights in the shop, because this is a very small shop, not well lit. They had lights on the ceiling with gaffer tape just like everywhere. And there's a light guy, and then there's a makeup girl. She's got her bag. And then there's then someone said, fix his shirt. And some lady came running out of the back and she's like messing with his shirt. And then we got the prop girl with the coffee, and it was Christmas time in this place. And I was just like transported back to like college, wanting to be on a Hollywood set so bad. And I was like, okay, I'm like, this is full circle. This came, my dreams came to fruition in this moment, and I can die happy now. So that's,
I'm surprised you didn't go, guys, we don't decorate for Christmas until the day after Thanksgiving. Okay, that's on the schedule, and that's months away.
It's my calendar here. Are you guys on iCal? I'll add you to my iCal.
What's going on? I'll let you know.
What's happening?
But then, like, after the scene was done, I'm assuming they were finished filming in the Sock Monkey Museum. Like, that wrapped up that day, and they were moving to another place. So then there was this whole crew taking down all the Christmas stuff. And I was like, so now you guys got to demantle, like, all the Christmas stuff? She's like, yep, it's going to take a while. Because, I mean, it was like Santa just came in and just bleh, everywhere. Like, have you ever watched Home Alone and realized just how many things are red and green in that house? Like, even the tile and like the curtains, and it's just so red and green. And I'm just like, wow, a lot of thought goes into these sets, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it was fun overall. I was just like, I'm so happy that this happened while you were here, because Brie was a very big Mario Lopez fan. Like, she watches all of the shows that he hosts and like, grew up watching Saved by the Bell.
Right.
Was an ACs. So it was fun to see her like, oh my God, I'm so glad we came here. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But
good for her.
Mm-hmm. It was fun. It was good times. What about you guys? Did you meet anybody famous yesterday?
No.
No. Mm-mm.
See, my question is, what celebrities have you guys met to be like, oh, you know, when you meet a celebrity and they're mean, who have you guys met? I've never met a celebrity in my life.
Well, I haven't met anyone that was mean, I don't think, but I hear that a lot. I hear people saying, like, I grew up loving this actor, actress, and I ran into them and they're a piece of shit, you know? And it's disappointing.
Never meet your heroes.
Yeah.
Have you guys met other...
Well, Adam's had his run-in with Emma Watson.
Yeah, that was big celebrity moment. I also saw Vince Vaughn at the height of Vince Vaughn era walking in Las Vegas, and there was a bunch of people like trying to take photographs. I didn't say anything to him. I just saw him from afar. I was like, oh, that's Vince Vaughn.
You could probably like make eye contact with Vince Vaughn because you're up there with him.
I could see above the heads of folks. But yeah, is there any other celebrities that I've... No, I don't think so.
I saw Michael Jordan, but I didn't meet him. I saw him from afar. I was downtown and he was going to court for something. And I just see like Yeah, I saw this like limo pull up and he gets out and everybody's like, hey, Mike. And he's like walking through this crowd just trying to get into the building. I'm like, the man's going to court. Let's leave him alone, you know?
Right.
But that was cool because I grew up a huge Bulls fan, Chicago. Hello, you know, love Michael Jordan. Yeah. So that was pretty fun. That was like, I didn't know he was going to be there moment. No, I don't think I've ever, like, I'm thinking like of concerts, backstage stuff, but I've never met anybody.
I don't think I've ever even seen a celebrity in person.
Really?
I don't think I have. No.
See, Jay's got all the stories. Jay has hung out with Alicia Keys, Jay-Z, DMX, because of music and New York. New York's a big, like,
in New York.
Song, like, hip hop.
Concrete jungle where dreams are made of.
Missy Elliott. Oh, I met Missy Elliott.
Tomato.
I put my thing down, flip it, and reverse it. It's sure from the
Bethlehem. Yeah, I met Missy Elliott. She's like, she was a foot shorter than me. I was shocked because she doesn't look that short. In like videos.
Wow.
She's little.
Every time I see somebody on a screen, though, I imagine them being so tall. And then when I meet them, like I've met YouTubers, right?
Because
that happens all the time where I'm like, wow, you're a lot shorter than I imagined.
Yeah.
Nicole.
And I was editing a video.
Yeah, that's me. That's what I hear all the time.
Nicole. There's this video that I was editing yesterday and I was looking at myself and I was like, man, I look short in this video. I don't usually feel that way about myself because I've never even thought about it, but I was like, wow, I look short.
Yeah.
Adam was a lot taller than I imagined because you don't say, hey, I'm 6'4 on YouTube.
No.
Yeah.
And then it was like, crank my neck back. There he is.
Yeah. And giving you a hug was a little startling because, like, you know, my face is like in your belly button. But
I just wrap yourself around.
Yeah.
Touch the cheeks.
But yeah, so today's sunny. That's good.
Oh, it is.
Be Real just went off.
I know. That's what I'm doing. Sorry if you can't see me.
Okay, I'm going to be... Wait. I hit the button and...
Pardon them, guys. They have to take their Be Reals.
Also, add me on Be Real at Not Dude. If you want, if you want to see me take the same photos every single day, because I don't do a damn thing.
You know, Bree's Be Real went off while we were there. Did you see her Be Real yesterday?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, okay, it's frozen. That couldn't have been a better Be Real moment.
And she said it. She's like, my Be Real just went off. We have to do this. So we take the photo and then she posts it on Instagram and Mario Lopez reposted it. My face was in his stories. Okay.
Yeah.
Wild thing. Anyway.
But also, I zoomed in as Becca did too. We found out Becca and I are pretty much the same person. Nicole sent us photos of her and Brie with Mario Lopez. And the first thing I immediately did, because his phone was visible.
And it was a weird layout.
And the first thing I did was zoom in to see like what his phone looked like. And I didn't like the layout. It was reminiscent of when you added a photo to your desktop on your computer and then you rearranged your icons around the photo.
Yes, that's exactly what it was.
And it
I feel
gave
like he was scrolled like all the way to the end of his apps. That's what I'm telling myself because it was just like four apps at the very top.
But one of them was a camera, and I absolutely know that's probably his front page app.
You think so? His
apps,
home screen.
Mario Lopez. Yes, the camera icon will be on the front page.
True.
The camera icon is on everybody's front page.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. It's on mine.
Yeah.
Or in your base. So, yeah. Anyway, weird.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, that was weird. It was strange. Yeah, that was the first thing I zoomed in on. I'm like, what can we see?
Is there a Grindr icon on there? Do I have a chance?
Oh, my God.
Gotta get to Chicago. Okay, so celebrities. So no other celebrities, huh? That you guys have run into. Okay. One celebrity. Like, go ahead.
I was going to say, I watched Joe Biden speak, but he wasn't president. So like it was after the Obama era. I went to a conference and he talked about his stutter on there. Oh. And I was in the audience. So like, I don't know. And Bill Gates and Warren Buffett, I watched a talk with them when I was in college, but not like pop culture celebrities.
Yeah. Okay. That's kind of cool though. I saw Bernie Sanders in public walking down the street.
That's cool.
Yeah. He had some people with him and I was like, that was definitely, if not, it was his doppelganger. But then I found out that they were having like some type of like a conference/speech thing going on.
If politicians count, I met Doug Ducey, Arizona Doug Ducey.
Doug Ducey.
He came, this is weird. I used to be involved in a Christian ministry, a Christian outreach ministry, and he came to one of our conferences and was like, "Keep up the good work, guys. We need God in whatever." And I was like at the time I was like, cool, Doug Ducey, whatever. Now I'm thinking about it. I'm like, why was a politician going to a religious thing? Like, yeah. I don't know. Hey. Not to get into it, but I was just like, that's weird. Now, that seems a bit strange. But anyway.
Make America pray again.
Oh,
do we know about this? Do we know how Trump is selling Bibles to pay for his
checks out? I sent that to you guys, I think, on TikTok, and I was like, this tracks.
This tracks so well.
I'm over it. I'm already over it.
I don't even want to talk about it. So
are we ready to get into the topic, or do we still have...
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So as discussed earlier, today's episode is about houseplants through the ages, more or less. Mm-hmm. Mainly focusing on 70s. Well, actually, I can't even say mainly focusing on the 70s because there's like lots of eras mentioned. Mm-hmm. But movement one, we're going to talk about the history of houseplants and like kind of how they came about. Why did people bring plants inside and like when and, you know. Mm-hmm. Take it away, Adam.
There is an acronym that I had never bumped up against, but also because I have never really done like a lot of history research, but they say BCE as far as like eras.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And CE.
Okay. So BCE stands for before common era and CE is common era.
Yep.
Because it used to be before Christ, after Christ.
Yes.
Right?
That's the only thing I knew.
Because you know, colonialism.
Mm-hmm. BCE is the same as BC, and then CE is the same thing as AD.
Okay. AD. I knew something was wrong in my head.
Yeah. Just so everybody knows, when I taught history, that was like one of the biggest things. I was like, oh, they do this now. Interesting. Okay, cool.
Yeah. I like that. Yeah. A lot better.
Me too.
Yeah.
Keep the Christ and before Christ era. Oh, anyway, so the Neolithic period is when we saw people start harvesting crops. So I guess you could say not really house plants, but that was, you know, the era where people were farming. And that took a lot of years because you have to select the crop, almost like our house plants now. You have a new cultivar, like you cross-pollinate a Hoya. Like not every seed in the pod will be selected. So basically, what I think you're supposed to do is you're supposed to grow all the seeds and then pick the one best plant and destroy the rest. Now, has that happened? No. People will sling these seeds out to people, giving them a cultivar name that's probably not even registered. And people then perpetuate that. And all of the seeds can show different characteristics, like in one pod, just like fraternal twins. You know, they could look completely different, but they're twins, you know? So they were selecting the crops that would grow and all of that stuff, lots of years. Then we have the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, which I think is that one of the World Wonders? I have heard of the Hanging Gardens of Babylon.
Well, I'm going to research this.
Babylon is in the modern day Iraq, I believe. Yes, modern day Iraq.
Ooh, pretty.
Where the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, I think, originated, King Nebuchadnezzar, thank you, Bible.
Thank you, Bible.
Commissioned this because his wife, Queen Amytis, Amytis, I don't know how I pronounce that, I'm probably butchering it. She was from a different land, Persia, Assyria, and she missed the rolling hills of foliage. So he had commissioned to build the Hanging Gardens of Babylon.
What a man.
Wow. What a love testament.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now, I'm trying to think of like what we could compare this to. I feel like it would be compared to like one of the best botanical gardens that you walked in that was like an indoor thing. I feel
probably.
Like. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Because Iraq is a desert. Not all a desert, but.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder how they watered everything. I mean, they obviously had like rivers right there, but I mean.
Sometimes when people ask like, oh, if you could go back and talk to anybody from history, like part of me would be like, I want to go back to when the Hanging Gardens of Babylon were like opened, and I want to like just
see it
and also know why, how.
Yeah.
I usually choose something like, I don't even know who I would choose. Who would you guys choose?
I don't know. I think about this often and I still don't know.
Who would I choose? Oh my gosh. It's such a big question. Anyone in history, maybe like, I don't know, Cleopatra. Mm. I don't know.
Yeah.
Some badass woman.
Yeah, or Madame Curie, I'll be like, girl, stop touching this stuff, okay?
Helen
Keller. Oh, hands down.
How are you doing this? Are you okay? How is the information being put in your head? How are you communicating? I don't get it.
Or her teacher, rather. I'd like to talk to her teacher, too, because what a job, you know?
What a job. Anyway, okay, so after we have the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, you just have, you know, you have plants or imagery of plants popping up in ancient Egypt, Greece, and Rome. And they usually used clay pots. The Romans liked the marble, obviously, just based
bougie.
On their...
Yeah.
Bougie. which reminds me, I did see a marble silverware holder at Target, and my net pot fit into it. And I was like, this is a vibe.
Oh, I didn't watch your video yet, but I saw you're like, let's grab our net pots and go to Target. And then I got distracted. Yeah. So I need to go back
like,
to that.
And then you just went swipe.
No, I didn't. Shut up.
That was a great video. I enjoyed it.
Okay. See.
Because I watch Adam's video.
You're a real fan.
Another side note is I literally was just like, I'll just take a couple video clips. I sometimes think making content, and it's not even like I'm doing it for anything. I'm just doing it for myself / fun, but like is more intense than it needs to be, because I literally just took a couple video clips and did a voiceover and I was like, oh, that wasn't that hard. I should be doing more of this. But anyway, side.
No, don't should yourself.
You see a bunch of imagery of clay pots from ancient Egypt in Greece, marble in Romans, but they definitely had house plants. And then we kind of move into between 200 and 500 CE. That's where we see some of the Chinese bonsai.
Mm-hmm.
Introduced, which was basic.
Which is like a whole thing.
I know. And honestly, if I would have got into bonsai before I actually got into houseplants and then subsequently Hoya, I could be one of those folks that's like a little bit obsessed with bonsai, which also was featured on Saved by the Bell when the principal, Mr. Belding, had a bonsai, and then Zach was supposed to take care of it. And there was like a book on how to clip it, all of these things.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. I think bonsai is cool. I drive by a little spot here in Phoenix where a guy like sets up in an empty parking lot, like these shelves from his like van and like sells bonsai.
That's
so cool.
Sometimes I think I should stop and just interview him. Oh. Just like, what do you have? Like, what happened? How did you get into this? And like, why is this still, you know?
Like a street interview that they do in New York, but with that guy.
Yeah, but I'm not that type of extroverted. I'm not extroverted at all.
It's scary. Yeah.
Anyway.
But that would be really cool, Adam.
That would be a fun
thing.
Maybe
you should.
Yeah.
That would be fun.
Put a pin in that. Okay. So the Roman Empire fell and decorative house plants kind of disappeared from all of what is modern day Europe. Monks in the monasteries kept some house plants, but they were basically the functional ones, you know, function over beauty.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's the wealthy, the 1% who were like, wait a minute, I can build something to let me have house plants inside. And they were called orangeries. Orangeries. I think this is probably after Columbus went and pillaged and claimed to have found different lands in tropical areas. But these orangeries help them grow citrus inside. You know, you gotta get, you gotta curb that.
I don't know.
Is the thing that pirates scurvy? Citrus helps with scurvy.
Right. Hey, if you've seen Bridgerton, there's an episode of Bridgerton where the orangery is very important. Season 2.
Oh.
That's next on my list, by the way.
Okay, so then tell me, orangery, is it basically just like an indoor greenhouse? Like a solarium?
Like a glass house, yeah. And then there's just big trees like planted in the ground.
Hmm.
And yeah, that's basically it. Just a glass house.
Hilton Carter has an orangery. He's got that tree plant in his ground in his house.
That is so cool. Someday when I build a house, I am doing that. Like, yes. I'm going to put a planter in the ground. And he said that it's hooked up to the the drainage system in his house. Like, there's just like a pipe that it just drains into and it goes out with the water.
Yes.
Like gray water.
Unbelievable.
Nice.
I bet that was so easy to engineer as well. Like, you just kind of connect it.
You just...
Just freaking do it.
Anyway, the orangeries, wealthy individuals, they wanted to showcase exotic plants from across the world, which came to them in what? Pop quiz. How did they transport
ships.
Plants? Yes, on ships, but like what? What's the container?
Oh, Wardian cases.
That's right.
Wardian cases.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
That's cool.
Yeah. So then we move to the Victorian era where houseplants were accessible by the middle class, which is where you see all of these like palms. I'm guessing that's where parlor palm came from. That is a common name. Parlors were the Victorian era where you went and, I don't know,
had a drink
sat.
In the parlor. Yeah.
And so I'm sure that you saw a bunch of like big leafy bright plants in these areas. And then we hit modern era, which is kind of after World War II. In another article talked about that being the resurgence of tiki culture. And I think a lot of that is because a lot of the servicemen were stationed in the South Pacific and probably for the first time experiencing this exotic culture. And they wanted to bring that back to show that paradise. And that's, I think Steve knows a lot about the tiki history, which is kind of cool. But I think that's where tiki kind of came into the U.S. And along with the tiki culture came all of the exotic tropical plants as well. The bird of paradise, the bromeliads, all of this stuff. But a lot of that, I think, was because of service members coming back from those spots and being like, this was really amazing. And I want to like show their culture here. Not necessarily like stealing it, but maybe, I don't know. It seems like it's like a weird gray area on that one. I don't know. Maybe not. And maybe I just haven't read or researched it fully. So feel free to correct me.
I saw in one of the articles as well surrounding World War II, like since women had to go to the workplace, they would bring potted plants with them to like remind them of home. And like I thought that was kind of cool. Like the start of the desk plant was like women in the workplace. Like that's so cool.
I thought that was really neat too. And when I was reading that, because I was like, oh, they brought life into these sterile work environments because they were finally able to work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then my thought was the girls and the gays, because I had flashbacks to my office full of plants and everyone was always like, oh my gosh, it's so nice in here. I was like, yeah, the girls and gays, they really.
Isn't that great? It's like making women just like have a way of making homes a home, like a house a home. Mm-hmm. It's just like a part of, I don't know, not to like simplify it down to that. I mean, men can do this too, but I feel like there's like a certain warmth that women have that just might not have existed in the workplace prior to that.
Absolutely.
And that's so cool.
It is cool.
Yeah. So that's like the history of house plants. As far as like a very brief history of seeing them. But yeah, I always associate houseplants with like the 70s. And I don't, well, I do know why, because I feel like that's kind of like where we started getting like photo, or it was accessible for people to have photos, and you get photographs and cameras and
family members, like you've seen it probably in your own family members' photos, subconsciously, like remembering that TV, like old shows we would see house plants on TV. So it's kind of sticks in your memory there.
Yeah. There were several shows. As I was researching this, there were several shows that apparently had a lot of plants. There's a show based in New York City called Rhonda, I guess. Mm. I've never heard of this show, but apparently Rhonda's apartment in New York City is just stuffed to the brim with houseplants.
Wow.
And
I think Rhonda was a spinoff of the Mary Tyler Moore show. Or is that Rhoda?
Okay. Oh, maybe it is pronounced Rhoda and I'm calling it Rhonda and that's not correct at all.
What year would that have possible. Been? That would have been like the 80s?
I think it was like the 1974.
Amazing.
It lasted 5 seasons. And yeah, apparently her apartment had a lot of plants and there was this whole article like deep diving into all of them. And like they were saying that a lot of the plants looked really sad. And I was thinking if these plants were real and they're living on a set, like I imagine similar to what Nicole was saying with the lighting in the Sock Monkey Museum, it's probably a lot of artificial lighting for the filming. And then they turn it all off and then the plants aren't getting light.
Right.
You know, so maybe that's why they looked bad. But anyway.
Oh, that's funny.
Do we mind if I move in now?
Yeah, no.
Go ahead, girl.
Movement 2. Oh. So the, act as I was researching this, act tussie.
We're going to have to explain ourselves.
You sound like a really hoity-toity British person when you say tussie. Like, tussie.
Tussie.
Come here, tussie. Come hither.
Tussie, my little pussycat. Okay.
It's giving Aristocats.
It's oh, that was my favorite movie as a kid.
I've never seen it.
You haven't?
No.
Wait, I feel like we've talked about this. Yeah. I'm having deja vu.
Yeah.
Because as a cat person, Adam, you have to watch it because these cats live the best life and they're so cute. Oh my gosh. And I had the biggest crush on the alley cat.
Yeah, you O'Malley. Did. Because he's a baddie.
O'Malley the alley cat. I watched it recently and I was like, he can get it. Wow.
You know, that was me with Max from a Goofy movie. The sum.
Are we talking about our crushes and our characters? Because mine was Robin Hood.
Okay, yeah. Oh,
he was hot.
Big Robin job.
Hood, he was a fox.
He was a fox. Literally. But he was hot. He had a little... something.
Okay, Robin Steve Hood. Thought thank you guys because Steve thought I was insane for like being like
not at all
attracted to Max from a Goof movie.
No. At all.
Max has a little something going on.
He's got some riz. Oh,
he's got riz.
So does Robin Hood.
Oh my gosh. But yeah, okay, so anyway, and it makes me wonder if that movie had plants in it. I don't know. There's this whole world that opens up once you start collecting plants that you just start seeing them places. Mm-hmm. And when Nicole mentioned earlier, like in old family photos, seeing plants, we had plants growing up and I remember them, but I don't remember it ever being a big part of our day-to-day conversations or routine. I don't even remember my mom ever taking care of them.
Yeah.
But in pictures, there's like a huge spider plant, like big. We had a big bay window in one of our houses. Yeah. Like, when did she take care of it? I don't know. Maybe she didn't because it was a spider plant and you don't really need to.
Yeah.
But basically for this part of the episode, I just wanted to capture stories of people's experiences with houseplants in previous times. And so I was just scouring the internet for like articles and I would go down to the comment section of those articles. So we're going to link these articles below so that you guys can read them too. But so I'm just going to read some comments from articles and then we have some listener submissions that I think Nicole's going to go through.
Yeah.
One of the articles is called It's a Jungle in There, Invasion of the 70s Houseplants, which by the way, this article has a lot of really great photos. And I think a lot of these are from magazines, like probably Better Home and Gardens, like a bunch of people were saying to look at those old books. I have a series on my channel where I look at old houseplant care books, and it's really interesting seeing the different ways that people displayed their plants. And like, they were kind of risky as well. Like some of these, it's like, how are you taking care of that plant? Because it's so high up, it doesn't make any sense. And yeah. It also seems like houses, especially in like the 70s, were built with plants in mind.
Mm-hmm.
In that yeah. they would make like there's a picture of a kitchen with like a big square and then like a ledge or something that you can put cascading plants in. Which is just
the dream.
That's so cool.
But part of me always wonders, like, again, it's not like Hilton Carter, how the drainage worked. Because if you looked at a lot of like mid-century modern architecture, which I think is like late 40s up into the 70s, there mm-hmm. is a lot of built-in planters to mid-century modern. Like the foyer yeah. has built-in planters. Like you said, the yeah. kitchen has built-in plant. Like they really, in the mid-century era, were like, yeah, we're going to focus on plants. But then I'm always wondering, yeah. like, how does that drain?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really interesting. It's yeah. very interesting. I don't know. One of the articles was talking about how like the 60s was very sterile and then it just was a complete flip to the 70s. And I wanted to look more into this, but there seems to be, from what I'm gathering, there seems to be like a cultural thing that happened that brought people back to plants. And so just thinking about the times when plants kind of surged, one in the 70s after the Vietnam War, like horrible time in history, people maybe are like disillusioned for a bunch of different reasons. So like we turn to nature as like a healing property mm-hmm. or power. And then we have like the 2020 surge around COVID, which was like probably one of the biggest surges probably since the 70s.
I think so. And
people mm-hmm. were just looking for something to like to feel something again. I don't know. I feel like there is a correlation there that I would love to like deep dive into more and like look into like that time yeah. period. But anyway, so from that article, we have some comments. The comment that I liked the most was from Dry Heat 45. They're from Phoenix, which was fun.
Oh, that's fun.
Designers went from the sterility of the 60s to the organic design of the 70s. I think we all have memories of a room with too many plants when we were kids. Mine was the bathroom, since the thought was that the steam would keep them alive. There was at least six in that one room.
That's fun.
Which is like, that's our lives right now. Which yeah. is so
well,
so
I was
funny.
I was thinking about that. Like even the 90s and early 2000s, I have clear memories of going to my friends' houses, going into stores, and I don't remember seeing any plants. And it could have very well been plant blindness at the time, but mm-hmm. I feel like it wasn't popular in the 90s to have houseplants, even though some people probably had like an occasional pothos or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't remember them becoming popular until like maybe like 2010, 2015, like when we got kind of into the plant scene again, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, I think 2020 was for sure the biggest spike since the 70s from what I remember.
Yeah. And okay. And thinking about like 2010, there was a big recession in 2008.
Yep.
And so maybe by 2010, there's like a little bit more financial stability and it's mm-hmm. like maybe slightly more of an inclination to like, I don't know, let's do something for ourselves or let's do something to make our homes. I don't know.
Self-care.
Yeah. Something like that. Okay. And then I found a forum, Ask Metafilter, Quiring mm-hmm. to the Hive Mind. I don't know. It's like a like a Reddit type of thing.
Okay.
So there was a question that was asked, what kind of houseplants were popular in the past? I'm most interested in the 1950s and 60s, etc. So a few of the comments there was, I think I'd associate the okay, hold on. Let me zoom in on this word.
Aspidistra.
Thank you. Aspidistra with Britain in the 40s and 50s. And that is the cast iron plant.
Mm.
And I remember when I first started getting into plants in 2018, I heard a lot of people talk about the cast iron plant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it made me realize I have not heard about that plant since probably like 2019.
Yeah. Me neither.
Like I forgot it existed, number one. And number two, I've never seen it in a store.
Yeah.
But it was like really popular. Another
that
person
plant
said
was all over the cruise ship.
Oh,
like,
was it?
In the Central Park area as like ground cover. Like it was all over because I think it's fairly easy. And mm-hmm. pretty.
Yeah. Someone also said, oh yeah, in the 40s, which is like in the 40s, I don't know. I feel like life before the 50s, I'm like, I don't know.
Because there weren't many photos.
I don't know what they were doing.
There weren't many photos from that time, you know?
Like, no.
Yeah. I mean, there were, but not in like the common household. Like we weren't taking Polaroids then, or, you know, film was a thing, but it wasn't, if you were not wealthy, then you weren't taking photos all the time, you know?
So, yeah, exactly. Life was very, I feel like life was more about function at that point in time. Mm-hmm. Like, I wonder when life kind of switched to be more about pleasure and like enjoyment.
Yeah, probably after all the wars. Yeah. Honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, another comment from that forum said, I associate African violets, azaleas, gardenias, peace lilies, and begonias with the 50s, in line with the era's tiki craze. Exotic tropicals like bromeliads, bird of paradise, philodendrons, and orchids are popular too. And also, my grandma has had the same Christmas cactus since the 50s. It still blooms yearly, and it's a really special thing to have in a home given its longevity and winter blooms.
Christmas cactus has been around for a long time. Yes.
Yes. My grandma has had Christmas cactus for just, yeah, decades as well. And a theme that with all of those is that a lot of those plants are known for their flowers. Mm-hmm. Like African violets and azaleas and gardenias. Like,
yes.
Peace lilies. It's all flower driven. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and that's what I noticed in my series when I went back and looked at in the books. Like, it was mostly flowering houseplants, which now that is just not about that. Mm-hmm. So I feel like it was very much a, I don't know, bringing nature in a more familiar way, maybe. I don't know, because gardening has obviously been a thing forever. Mm-hmm. Last comment from that is also in the 1970s, asparagus, fern, rubber trees, Schefflera's, the umbrella plant, and more asparagus ferns. Asparagus ferns in brass containers were the quintessential fern bar plants.
Oh.
So, yeah, I thought that was a really fun. That paints a really fun picture.
Yeah.
Asparagus ferns in brass containers.
Oh, pretty. Very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, rubber tree is definitely one of those. Rubber tree is one. Like ficus. People really loved the ficus through the years. Mm-hmm. What's another one that I remember... I was going to say, well, Schefflera's are always, like you just said. Bromeliads weird me out because I thought that they were spray painted. Like, I don't get the appeal of a bromeliad, but maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
We also talked to some of our Instagram friends and we got some listener submissions. So,
yeah, I'm going to read those to you. Some of these are fun. Lori 21, sent in from Instagram, by the way. She said that she grew houseplants in the 70s and she had pothos, Norfolk pines, and ferns.
Ooh, the Norfolk Island pine. Yeah.
Yes. Those are so beautiful, which I killed mine. Anyway. Katie Brooke 123 said, I was an only child in the 90s, but she remembers her grandma always had pothos, peace lilies, and jade. Okay, jade is another one that's beautiful that's been around for a long time. I feel like people pass that down.
Mm-hmm. When you see like a giant jade tree,
so beautiful. Oh,
I love those.
Me too. Yeah, me too. I have one now.
My jade got scale.
Oh no.
Yeah. Oh,
that's difficult.
Stinks.
I have one now and I'm like, I can't wait for it to like branch off and do that tree form. I'm excited. Mm-hmm. Anyway, the plant gnat said, my mom was born in 59 and has a few plants that she got in her 20s still. A bipinnatum. I can't pronounce that first word.
Thematophyllum. It's the... Thematophyllum. Philodendron cellum, that one.
Yeah. Okay.
Reclassified.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Wow. In the 50s, or that would be in the 70s, late 70s. Variegated spider plant and green syngonium. Syngonium, I feel, has been around for a long time too, because I have a cutting of just a green form syngonium that my friend's grandpa had for a long time. And she took it from his house when he passed away. And he was in his 80s, and she was like, try to keep this alive. It's like 50 years old. And I was like, okay, cool.
No pressure.
I still have like a very small cutting of it, but I feel like syngonium been around for a long time too.
Yeah, they were all over Biodome when we went there, Becca. That was like the ground cover was all syngonium.
That was like the number one plant there.
Yeah.
It was everywhere.
Very cool. Secret plant collector wrote, I write here on my mother's behalf. I had a lot of plants in the 90s. This is her mom writing in. I grew mostly ficus and pothos, but also some sort of syndapsis that trailed around a big mirror on my windowless hallway. Oh, wow. Windowless. I learned from my mother combined with a book with very basic care tips. I got most of my plants from trading cuttings with my friends. Oh, I still have a Hoya australis from then. Very Ooh. Fun. Now I still keep a few different plants and I really enjoy getting cuttings from my daughter. The it plant in my friend group was the rubber tree ficus. Yes. I still like them, but I don't own one anymore. There was one more submission we had, which Bree, our friend Bree, just kind of told me a story. I wrote it on there, but I don't know where it went. I don't think
yeah,
I saved it.
Yeah, it's gone. I saw it earlier today, but anyway.
Okay. Well, she was telling me that she remembers going to her grandma's house. And when you walked in, she had like a bay window as well. And she had an atrium like right in front of the window because she used to breed finches, like little finch birds. And she had like palms surrounding the atrium. So it just felt like this jungle. It had like a jungle vibe, you know? And then in another room down the hallway, she said she had a room that had floor to ceiling windows and she just had like pothos, palms, any easy plant you can think of, just huge, just perfect window setup for plants. And I was like, that's so sweet that that was your grandma. So that was, yeah. you know, yeah. quite some time ago that you have those memories from. Very fun.
I have zero memories of plants growing up.
Me which too.
We did not have plants inside. I do remember my mom's favorite flower, which was a peony, and we had those outside, and I love peonies to this day.
Oh, like,
they're
so pretty.
The smell of them. But yeah, Becca, you grew up with plants. But yeah, I don't remember it at all.
Yeah.
My mom has some plants now, but...
Yeah, it's like faint memories. Like they were just kind of there, but I don't remember. Yeah, like I never remember seeing her take care of them. So I don't know.
They were like a part of the decor, right? Like they were just like in the house. Yeah. I mean,
they were just there.
She had to have had a schedule for watering to keep them alive that long. She had to have done some basic plant care, but.
Must have. I wonder what soil they were in. Like I cringe to think.
Yeah.
Real quick though, there was an article about houseplants on TV shows, and there is one from what they referred to from Seinfeld, but like they called Kramer the resident hipster. I never really thought about Kramer as a hipster. I just thought about him as like a weird character, but I guess he is kind of a hipster in Seinfeld. But he had a red Maranta on his table, and I gotta be honest, the set design.
It looked bad.
Yeah. I was like, okay, well, this seems like a plant that Kramer would have. So I was pretty impressed with the set design because it's not this perfect plant. It's like a couple healthy looking leaves and a lot of brown.
Yeah. It's like the stems were so long and then there's like a couple leaves at the ends of the stems. Like, you know, it has been doing really bad.
But I know there's others out there. So that could be a call to action. Tell us if you've noticed a plant in what TV show and...
Yeah, that one. Oh, and I noticed in that article as well, in the friend's apartment, in Monica's apartment, there was a lot of ferns and stuff like that. So
the Boston fern.
The Boston fern. So, yeah, thank you guys for hanging out with us and, you know, bearing with us as we get a little nerdy in this episode talking about this. But yeah, like Adam said, if you have any memories of plants in your home growing up or on TV shows that you watched, we would love to hear more about it. You can send us a DM. We'll probably be sharing a lot on Instagram today just because I think these stories are so fun to share. So it's not too late. If you have stories, you can still share them. And we look forward to reading them and sharing them. So if you're not already, hit that subscribe button on your podcast player. And yeah, follow us on Instagram at Potted Together. Yeah, we'll see you guys next time.
See ya.
Talk to you next week. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.